Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, we're spending a little time today talking about chronic stress 2020 style and finding a few actionable things you can do about that stress in your own life. Karen Buxell is a founder and teacher at Soul Yoga Collective in Rapid City, and she's returning to In the Moment for more of this conversation. Karen, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, you have worked with people and breath and mindfulness and yoga as they go through all kinds of things in their life, including trauma and healing that is complex. And so we don't want to make any simplifications here today, but I do want to start with the breath and ask you, based on your training and experience, why does breathing matter in times of chronic stress?
Such a great question. And yeah, you're right. This is daily. We are working with people, you know, in our studio, in our classes, with our private clients, really teaching them how to connect with that breath. And, you know, the truth is that so many of us, well, pretty much everyone, especially these days, we're really kind of stuck in the sympathetic nervous system when it's fight and flight, go, go, go. You know, life is coming at you at such a hectic pace, even before the world turned upside down a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So these days, it's really about connecting with the breath, bringing breath and body to a very mindful focal point. And it then kind of taps into your, you know, the nervous system that rarely gets a chance to come on board, which is the parasympathetic. And those are all big words that aren't necessary, but it's a felt sense in the body. If you can get into the breath and slow it down or have some specific ways to use your breath, it's a notable shift in mental stress, physical stress, emotional well-being. Things will shift.
So if people are listening across the whole state of South Dakota and they might be in their, you know, in their truck driving across the state, they might be in their tractor, they might be at home, they might be on a yoga mat right now, taking a moment to listen and hear what you have to say. Can you breathe anywhere? And if you're in different places, how do you connect with breath? You know, if it's not like, well, I'm going to go to yoga at, you know, 2 o'clock, or when I get done with work, I'm going to sit down and spend 10 minutes breathing. Like, help us figure out these different ways that you can connect with your breath in different places and different scenarios.
Yes. And I love that. And that's really what we teach our students at Soul, is that, you know, this hour you spend on your mat is fantastic, but it's not going to do much to you unless you take the practices into your daily life. So you take it to the office, you take it to your car, you take it to the interactions you have with your family, you take it to the dinner table, you take it everywhere. So it really is about, you know, when you find your mind starting to take you someplace that maybe you don't really need to be going, that's a stressful thought. If you start to feel the body tense up because your mind is going to those areas, it's really it's like a little nod or a little tap, tap from your body, from your mental state, tapping you on the shoulder to say, hey, you can tune in here, soften your shoulders, take 3 deep breaths. You can do that while you're driving. You can do that while you're in the shower. You can do it anywhere and everywhere. And that's the idea, is that you start to really tune in and body will send the signals. And then you just make it a response to what you're hearing rather than adding one more thing I'm supposed to do every day. You already have enough of that.
Yeah. Does it matter if it's, I'm breathing through my nose with a closed mouth, I'm breathing out? Are there ways to sort of think about how to breathe?
Sure. Well, you know, there are so many breath exercises for very specific reasons. So in order for people not to overthink it or complicate it, it really is breathe however feels necessary in the moment that gets you in the moment, like present, noticing how you're feeling. But, you know, a general thing is to close the lips, take some long breaths in through the nose, long breaths out through the nose. That really regulates the emotions. So if you can slow the breath down, like however you need to do it, if you have a cold, you're not doing it through the nose. So any way that you can slow the breath down, count it. You can bring a count to the breath. So you're breathing in for four and breathing out for four. And so bringing any sort of regulation to that breath will regulate the stress response. Your emotional self will chill out.
Repeat as needed. Sometimes
every other minute. Yeah.
I want to talk, Karen, about getting on that yoga mat, sort of, you know, literally and figuratively, through some questions about just motion and what many of us would think would be stretching, or would think about entering into the yoga sort of space, you know, for the first time. Help people think about the importance of moving your body at this point, beyond, you know, just taking a walk around the block. But where does yoga come in to that full picture of our physical health when it comes to moving our bodies?
Sure. You know, yoga is, at its very essence, it really is about building this connection. Yoga means union. So we're looking to build a connection between the mind, the breath, the body. And I like to kind of take it further and look into the emotional body and the spirit. You know, we all are of spirit in some way, however you define that. So we are multifaceted human beings. So we're stuck in our head most often for most hours of the day. So stepping onto your mat or whatever space you want to go and connect with your body, it may sound, you know, out there, but moving your body, even stretching long on the mat and doing a big long stretch and just holding that and feeling and starting to kind of take a tour through yourself to notice, like, wow, my low back is really angry right now, or my goodness, I never realized I had so much tension that I'm holding in my neck. So as we can start to really listen to what our body is telling us all the time, it can whisper and we can honor it. The less we listen to it and the less we honor it, will start to scream. And then we end up with injuries and disease. So good practice.
You said the emotional body. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're emotional beings. So everything we've experienced through our lifetimes, every thought, every memory, every physical experience we've had, it tucks itself away inside of our bodies, our cellular memory. So moving the body kind of is a way for the anatomical structure, the physical being that we are, to sort through and process various things that we're working on. So oftentimes in yoga class, people will have an emotional response sometime during class. You know, maybe there'll be some tears, or there'll be a laugh or something. And it's just very common, and people wonder if that's normal. And it is absolutely normal that as we get into the body and allow ourselves to get curious and look around and feel, you know, oftentimes it's not comfortable to go towards the feelings, but unless they're processed and really dealt with, they'll just store themselves somewhere in the body until we do look at those and deal with them.
Mm. That happened to me once in a yoga class where I started to cry, and I, you know, I'm not a big private crier. I'll cry in front of people. It doesn't really bother me. But for this moment, I was kind of mortified. I couldn't stop. And everybody in the class was like, oh, that's, you know, that they, it's like they were very complimentary and very loving about it. And I thought, what's wrong with you people? For a moment, it was just this disconnect that everybody would be so welcoming to this experience. But in retrospect, it was because they had been there, and I was surprised by it, but they were not. And I thought, well, what if I cry every time? Like, what like, what would that mean?
That's okay.
And they're like, well, that would be fine. You won't, but that would be fine. So help people who feel something in there. Let's say, you know, you take a moment today and you stretch out, or you breathe, or you know, whatever thing that you're going to do, and you realize, wow, my lower back is angry. Wow, that I have a lot of tension in my jaw. Wow, that can be an unnerving thing to discover. And especially in a time when we're all kind of, you know, anxious about getting sick or concerned about people who are sick, and now we're like, oh my gosh, you know, here it is, my body is revolting. It can be easier to disengage from those feelings. How do you coach people through the act of courage that it can take to face what the reality is in your physical life and what's going on with you right now?
Yeah.
How do you help people be brave enough to find out what's on the other side of that breath?
Sure. Well, you know, it's really true that what we resist persists. So if you really, really don't like to do the dishes, so you just stop doing the dishes, and every day you're not going to do the dishes aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there, and they're going to be, you know, nastier and stinkier than ever. So it really is, you decide, you know, you get to that point, and we teach our students, you face it today or you face it later. And when you face it later, it's going to be more challenging because you will now have manifested into bigger concerns, perhaps actual physical disease in the body. And that sounds so big and, you know, scary, but it really is true, you know, that the body will speak to us. And if we are listening, we can befriend it. If we are denying it and avoiding it, it's just going to keep talking a little bit louder and a little bit louder until now we're facing back surgery, whereas before it could have been 5 minutes of gentle movement on a yoga mat. You know, and with the illness piece and all of us staying healthy right now, it's honoring the health that you have today and sitting in that health and breathing right into that health and continuing to see your future self exactly as you are today, healthy and vibrant and doing well. You know, so it's not that we're defending and preparing against some big thing, but we really, you know, just even breathing and spending a few minutes visualizing how it feels in your healthy body today and staying in that state of health and vitality and making the small choices that keep you there on a daily basis.
I wonder how often we think about that when we give up an opportunity to go to a gathering to say, now I'm going to take a deep breath and be so happy that I'm making the choices that are going to keep those deep breaths coming or that are going to honor my health at this time. It feels selfish sometimes, Karen, even when you know, like even when you know that staying home is helping other people. Even when you know that going, you know, pre-COVID, going into a gym space with, you know, crowded people, in, you know, all breathing together might be a good thing, or however you're doing your yoga now during the pandemic or your exercise, like it can still feel like you're doing something incredibly selfish to take care of yourself. You know.
Yeah, I think that's at all. I think that's I think that's not new news. Anytime we put ourselves on our list of very important things to take care of, there is I don't know, this weird belief about, oh, this is, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom for 17 years and it felt like the most selfish thing ever to be gone for an hour a day to do something for myself. But, you know, if we can rethink that and definitely develop a new relationship with our self-care, especially right now.
Yeah. So I've asked you a lot of questions to sort of help people enter something into the space for the first time. You know, how do you breathe? How do you, you know, begin? But for someone like you who's been doing this for a long time and really connected with people who are deep into the yoga practice, what has yoga and mindfulness and breath work, however you want to define it, what has it done for you in 2020 that you think, wow, if I didn't have this in my life, it would have been a really different year?
It has really kept me sane, quite honestly, to know that it's very easy to go into a mental headspace and start letting the thoughts run wild. But if I'm literally sitting down, I have a daily meditation practice. And if you know, as I sit and I train myself, because that's what you're doing when you're meditating or doing yoga, it's a training. You're training to still your nervous system, settle your mind, calm your heart, you know, feel your body. Then suddenly all the worries and the sometimes made up stories can't help but fall away, because the reality is, oh, I'm breathing in right now. Oh, I feel my feet on the floor. Oh, I hear the bird singing. So it really just cuts away all the noise and helps connect to what's actually real, that right now I actually am really okay and really happy, and my children are here, and, you know, just the simple things of letting the noise fall away. And it doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. You know, the noise is very loud and sometimes it's going to come in, but even noticing that, like, oh, the noise has arrived. I'm going to let that float on through and I'm going to come back to what's real right now.
How long, when someone starts practicing, you know, breathing or some simple meditation, how long before you notice a difference?
Wow, that's a very, you know, it's going to be case by case, person by person. But it can be immediate, and it's like it's a cumulative effect. You know, the more you do it, the more you are like storing away the battery fully charged, like you're kind of feeding that, keeping that battery charged. Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, it could be an instant, immediate, like, wow, I feel, you know, really different right now. Or it could be, it's going to take a few times, but, you know, give it a week. Check in with yourself day one, check in with yourself day seven. Be consistent. You know, it's like brushing your teeth. You don't just do it once a month and think you're going to get some great benefits. But they're there. The benefits are there, but you have to be there too.
Yeah. Good for kids too. Invite your kids into understanding a little breath. And we used to do like a yoga video when my daughter was little that was just fun as can be, because, you know, it was all cat pose and tree and acorn and baby. And so it seems like something from my experience that it's really an easy thing to invite children in. They kind of get it right away. They sort of get a lot of yoga intuitively, it seems. Like we maybe forget it as we get older because it feels like play. Yeah.
Right. And then we start to get, you know, swept away by the adult things of life. But children, they tune right into that and tap in just like brilliant little beings that they are. So, yeah, for sure, include your kids. You don't even have to call it anything special. You could just say, hey, let's sit on the ground together and listen for the birds. Close your eyes. You know, you could make a game out of it. Some people have, you know, aversions to certain labels around yoga or meditation or things like that. So, you know, it's really nice. You know, I look at it as practices that really honestly support us being better, happier humans. And it doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah. Karen, thank you so much once again for joining us and helping people open the door a little bit for perhaps feeling better in a really difficult time, even feeling vibrant and thriving in a really difficult time. We appreciate Karen. Thanks so much.
Such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.